So obviously you've been a respected author for over 30 years now, and you've chosen to come to Manchester now and chosen to go into lecturing. Can you tell me a bit about that decision, why you've chosen to do that now, and why Manchester?
Well, the truth is I've never been asked before. I taught one class at Boston University 2 or 3 years ago, and that's the sum of my experience at it. But I was asked, and I fancied it at once and came up and met my colleagues and liked them. But, you know, my father taught for many years and was reputedly very good at it, and I've always thought I might have something to offer. And also, you know, personal developmental reasons for doing it, in that you reach a certain age, you want to change. I haven't worked with colleagues for nearly 30 years when I was at the New Statesman and the Times Literary Supplement before that. And it's not that I'm lonely or running out of ideas for my books or anything, but I did feel I would enjoy a new milieu and new people, and a sort of injection of a different kind of life. Mm-hmm. And also another reason is that I wanted to find out more about the young. At a certain age, you feel that they're almost like creatures not from another planet, but from definitely another country. And it's important to have some sense of where it's all going. I want to know what modernity has done to young people.
What have you made of Manchester as a city and of the university, of what you've seen so far?
I haven't seen much of it. I must have spent about 5 or 6 nights here in my life, usually just giving readings and then disappearing. And I also realised that I was pretty ignorant about the north. Then I grew up in Swansea in South Wales. Mm. And England is such a capital-centric country, in that it's an enormously dominant capital that seems to control the gravity of these islands, or this island anyway. And, you know, I think the reason Manchester is expanding, the university is expanding, and I think the intention is to shift that center of gravity northwards for the general good of the country. But I very much like the idea of its being not Oxbridge, but a red brick country, a red brick university.
And away from what might be thought to be difficult or controversial topics. And obviously, you know, you've touched on the Holocaust and terrorism, communism and religion. All these things have been inspirations for your own writing. What will you teach the students about the importance of these things, or where to look for creative inspiration?
Well, I'm very curious to see how ideological they are. And, you know, if I do have a non-literary goal, it's to steer them away from that as much as I can. You know, by ideology, I mean religion as well. And in fact, you know, if all this does turn out to have a theme, it will be don't go with the crowd. You know, don't go with the crowd. Don't do anything for the crowd. Mm. Don't be of the crowd or with the crowd. This doesn't mean, you know, turn you against the crowd or antagonize the crowd, but just an enormous stress on individuality. Don't use crowd language. Don't use these little novelty phrases that bob around in the atmosphere for a few months, like no-brainer and all that, which are ways of signaling your peer group and saying that you're just like everyone else. Mm. Don't do that. You know, make it fresh, make it your own, make it individual. That will be an emphasis.
Do you think that working in this sort of academic environment will be any inspiration to you for your next work?
Yeah, with luck. I mean, you never know what's going to catch in your subliminal mind, which is where it has to be born. But meeting a lot of new people and having new experiences is just the kind of thing that does tend to, you know, get a novel dislodged somewhere within you.